Welcome back to the podcast. In this episode, we will discuss the games that will make or break ASU's hockey season.
This week, we answer the question, should I change my major?
I'm Nate Jara.
And I'm Tate Daniels. And this is State Press Play.
Also, we discuss ASU's transparency on reporting and informing the student body of crimes near campuses.
But first,
State Press podcast reporter Abby Bessinger answers the question.
Thinking of switching majors? Well, that might have an impact on your job search post-college. I'm here with community reporter Jania McFarland to break down the daunting question. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Jania.
Thanks for having me.
So, you spoke with Isle Fielder, who thought about changing his major. What led him to make that decision?
Well, when Io entered ASU, he loved engineering and cars and just mechanics. However, he hated the workload that came with his major. And so after taking a business class, he fell in love with the business school's structure and resources and ended up switching.
How does changing your major impact your job eligibility after college?
Well, after speaking with a professor of entrepreneurship, Todd Altmore, he said it won't make a huge impact unless we see a consistent change in majors over a long period of time. Business majors are still the most common and most versatile, according to Altman. Wind turbine technicians and nurse practitioners are expanding their fields by 45%, which is much more than any other field right now. So go be a wind tech.
I love that. What do you recommend for students who are scared to switch their major?
Well, from writing this article and just talking to my friends who have switched, the best thing to do is just talk to an advisor and somebody within the degree or field just to get their expertise and see if it's something that you are matched with. A study done by EAB shows that students who switch their majors, they have a higher graduation rate at 83%, opposed to those who just kind of stuck with their first choice or stuck with the major that they chose, which is at 79%. So even though it's scary because you don't know what's happening and you know you didn't like what you were doing before, just talk to some experts and do a Google search and switch.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. College is about trial and error, and your first choice might not always be the right choice for you.
From a student perspective, passion drives your career, so switching now saves you later. Just do it. It'll make you happier.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Jania.
Thank you, Abby.
You can check out Jania's full story at statepress.com.
ASU hockey is on a roll this season. These next few games are crucial to how the season will pan out as ASU goes up against Alaska Fairbanks in their next four games. I'm here with the State Press sports reporter, Justin Carter, to give us the breakdown for these next upcoming games. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Justin.
Appreciate you having me.
So for those who are not well-versed in hockey, like myself, if ASU wins these next four games, where will this take them?
Well, these next four games, they don't guarantee anything. So for ASU, they've got eight games remaining, and they're at 19th in the pairwise rankings. Pairwise, if for those that don't know, that's who the rankings that decide who makes the tournament, and you need to be in the top 16 to make the tournament. ASU is an independent team, not a conference team, so they don't have a conference tournament at the end of their season to help boost their rankings like a lot of other teams do. Next year, they're going to move to the NCHC, which will give them kind of that boost and that competition to help push them, but because they've been building this program for so long, they're currently an independent team. So they need to kind of get ahead of those rankings so that they have that pad at the end of the season to make the tournament like these other teams.
How have ASU and Alaska Fairbanks' seasons looked so far?
ASU's 18-6-6 this season, which obviously a very good record. They've had some good wins. They beat, at the time, number two Denver. They've beat Providence once. But they've also had some tough losses. In the last three or so weeks, they've got swept by Cornell, which was a good team. And then they split with Augustana, which was a weaker team. And then also had a tie last week to Lindenwood, which was a super weak team, entered with a 5-14-3 record. So just not a very good few week stretch for ASU. And so, I mean, obviously there's good things that we can look at and there's some negative things we can look like, but it doesn't really matter what's happened up to this point because what only matters is these next eight games and how they play then, and that could decide their season. I would say the competition that ASU's played has been a little bit better, but you can't definitively say that ASU is a better team than Alaska Fairbanks in any given game, especially when in 2 weeks they're going to Alaska on their home ice. They could absolutely beat them there. So a good season for both teams. Both teams looking for that playoff spot still, that NCAA tournament spot. So, I mean, it could go either way.
Lastly, Justin, if I want to go to one of these games, would I be able to see them here at ASU?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in Tempe, Mole Arena, one of the greatest arenas in college hockey. If you want to go this weekend, you can see them Friday and Saturday. Friday puck drops at 7 and then Saturday at 5. And then they're obviously not going to be playing next week, bye week, like I said, and then they'll go to Alaska. So if you want to see them in the next few weeks, I would say that this weekend's the best weekend to do it at Mole Arena.
Hope to see you there. Well, thank you, Justin.
Appreciate it.
That was State Press sports reporter Justin Carter. You can check out his story at statepress.com.
Listener's discretion is advised. This segment contains a discussion involving gun violence.
ASU prides itself on its commitment to student safety on campus. However, recent events nearby ASU's Tempe campus have cast doubt upon student safety off campus. Emily Fox-Million gives us more. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Emily.
Thank you, Tyler.
So, Emily, what is the primary issue that students are facing with how the university is handling their safety?
So first and foremost, we have to acknowledge the two shootings that happened recently. There were two shootings, one at LP's Market on Lemon and one at Fat Tuesday on Mill. Students I talked to were mostly unaware of the shootings, but generally desensitized. The one thing that they did care about, though, was the university's lack of communication about the shootings. Just to be totally clear, they were off-campus shootings, but they were at Tempe locations considered popular for ASU students.
So there seems to be a communication issue going on where students are not receiving the type of response from the university that they want. What are some of the specific grievances that students have with the underreporting of these last shootings that happened?
Absolutely. So students thought that when the university underreports or dismisses shootings that take place off but near campus, they are contributing to anxieties that students are already facing. The best that a university can do is be straightforward with the student body in general. I think that the issue is across all campuses. Ultimately, ASU is a huge university with four different campuses all miles apart. Safety of students shouldn't just matter on Mill Avenue in Tempe, it should also matter on Roosevelt in Phoenix or other popular spots on the West and Poly campuses.
Although a lot of students receive alerts from LiveSafe that informs them of any dangers on campus, it's incredibly useful in how it reports on any of these dangers on campus. How do students feel that it's enough to make them feel safe on campus?
So I spoke to Grace Hodge, a junior studying conservation biology and ecology. She commutes to classes and depends on LiveSafe to tell her what's going on campus. She said she doesn't like that the university didn't inform students on the shooting. She said, quote, "It almost feels like they could be trying to hide it. It feels sneaky." Personally, LiveSafe was one of the reasons I was able to dodge a shooting that was happening next to the Fusion dorms that happened back in October. That LiveSafe alert went out because it was technically on campus or so close to campus that it was an immediate threat to students. The university should take into account popular student hangouts, on campus or not, when it comes to reporting any perceived threats. To be clear, the university has no legal obligation to report these shootings because they are off campus, but that doesn't mean that they lack a moral one. LP's is recognized as a pretty popular late night bite spot for students on the Tempe campus. It's so popular, in fact, that it was the first food spot that I heard about as a freshman at ASU. Mind you, I'm on the downtown campus. It's places like these that need to be included in university-wide reporting.
However, what exactly are students lacking from the university if they are still receiving reporting on on-campus dangers through the LiveSafe app?
Ultimately, when universities are upfront about gun violence happening on and around campus, they're building trust between administration and students. Isaac Carlback, a sophomore studying management, lives next to LP's, and he heard about the shooting from a friend. He said, quote, "I wasn't surprised when ASU didn't say anything. When it's off campus, the university doesn't want to associate themselves with something like that. Ultimately, students just want to be informed."
So despite this perceived lack of transparency between the university and students, how else can students stay informed about what's going on in their university?
Absolutely. So I fully recommend that students continue to use the LiveSafe app. You're able to order rides if you need them, you're getting those alerts about perceived threats on campus, and you're also able to contact emergency services should you need them. I also recommend researching where you're going, using pepper spray if you need it, keeping one AirPod out at all times, and knowing your exits if you're in a busy location.
Alternatively, what are some other ways that the university can improve student safety?
At the end of the day, the university must expand its reporting and take into account the student population it serves. ASU must continue to offer resources and information for students new to campus so they know how to navigate ASU physically and not just academically.
Well, thanks for coming once again on the podcast, Emily.
Thank you, Tyler.
That was State Press Community and Culture Reporter Emily Fox Million. You can check out her story at statepress.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at State Press.
And that's all for this week's State Press Play. I'm Nate Jarrah.
And I'm Tate Daniels. State Press Play is produced by our podcast desk editor, Gabriella Fernbach. Our original music is by Ellie Willard and Jake LaRue.
Special thanks to our managing team, Alexis Heichman and Morgan Cabasco.
You can check out all these stories and more on statepress.com. See you next week, Devils.